Well, good morning, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say Merry Christmas. And tell them, hey, be nice to each other when you're shopping today this week, all right? Be nice this week. As a graduate of Placer High School, I want to say congratulations to the football team that made it to the state championship last night. Way to go. They almost pulled it off. They were so close, so close. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to Bear River for making it so far as well. Yay, good job. And as a graduate of Placer myself, I don't care what happened to Del Oro and Nevada Union, okay? I don't care what happened to them. Speaking of football, I got to tell you something that's been really hard for me this week. My father, you know, you love him. I love him. Great father. He eliminated me from our fantasy football league this week in the playoffs. So on the surface, he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy on the surface. But when you play against him, it's kill or be killed. It's survival of the fittest. So I don't know what you think about somebody eliminating your pastor from something, but tell him you don't appreciate him treating your pastor that way. So we had a great time. He's a great dad. Hey, let's grab our Bibles. You know, we've been talking about this issue of hope. Boy, our world needs a lot of hope today, doesn't it? A lot of crazy stuff going on in our country, around the world, in our own neighborhoods, in our state, in our homes. And we've been talking about hope. What is hope all about? How do I get it? What does it look like in life? You know, remember we talked last week that hope is part of the top three, right? There's three great attributes that God has given to us. Faith, hope, and what? Love. And the greatest of these is love, but hope is in the top three. So obviously God wants us to be people of hope, but we don't often understand exactly what that looks like and how hope is acquired. How does it work? How is it an attribute? So I want to spend this month talking about hope, how you can have real, legitimate, practical hope in your life from God. Last week we looked at hope is something that is something we eagerly anticipate. Hope is the eager anticipation of something better. Hopefully in your life you are looking forward to and hoping for an area or a situation in your life to get better. That's hope. The eager anticipation of something better. We saw in the book of Romans that tells us, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? The definition of hope is that I don't have it yet. I can't see it yet. That's why I'm hoping for it. We didn't wake up this morning hoping that there would be clothes in our closet to wear to church today, because we saw them before we went to bed. We didn't hope to wake up this morning and that gravity would still be in existence. We didn't hope that we would stay on the earth, because it happens every day. We didn't hope that the sun would come up. Okay? That when you see it, when it's in front of you, when you have it, you don't hope for it any longer. So hope by definition is something that's coming that I can't yet see. The rest of the verse goes on to say, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait what? Eagerly for it. What is it in your life that you are eagerly waiting for? That you are persevering difficulties until it comes. And how do we do that? How do we know that the hope that we have out there is God's hope for us? And how do we persevere today in order to get there? Because most likely, you and I are in the situation in our life where God has done some great hope-fulfilling things in the past. And now we're also looking forward to more hopeful things that he's going to do in the future. But maybe we're in that in-between gap where God has done stuff. I bet you if I called you up here on the stage and I said, hey, in the last year or two, what hope did you have that God has fulfilled? And you could name a couple of things. And then you say, okay, well, what hope do you think that God's going to fulfill in the next 2 or 3 years? And you have hope for the future. So maybe you're here today and you're in this gap between hope past has been fulfilled, but you have more hopes for the future. Because a hope that is seen isn't really hope. If you're doing something that you know is going to come about in 6 months, it's not really a hope because you know it's going to happen. Now we see, we're seeing, or we're learning that hope has three elements. Number one, hope must have a solid foundation. Hope must have a solid foundation. This is my symbol for hope. And what do I set my hope upon? Hope is not something that just floats out there. I don't simply say, well, I hope my life is better tomorrow than it is today, or I hope my life is better next year, or I hope that my kids are better. I need to have hope sit on something. Hope has to have a foundation to rest upon. And the way that we can clarify what is the foundation of our hope is by us completing this simple sentence. Because blank can make it happen, how you fill in the blank will determine what your hope is resting on. If I fill in the word I, because I can make it happen, then my future hopes are based on who? They're based on me and what I'm going to do. If I say, because you can make it happen, then my future hopes are based on who? You. And last week we learned that how we want to fill in this blank is with the word God, the person of God. The greatest foundation for our hope is the person of God, because God can do anything. And so when I rest my future hopes on the person of God, I have the best chance of those hopes being fulfilled. Because I am not the greatest person in the universe. You are not the greatest person in the universe. He is the greatest person in the universe. And so the Bible clearly tells us that we should hope in God, because he is the God of what? Hope. Romans 15, verse 13. The second thing that we learned, or we're learning, is that hope must have a specific focus. That hope has to have a focus. It's not just some general idea that's out there. I'm not just hoping that the future's better. I have specific areas. I'm hoping that my relationships are better. I'm hoping that my finances are better. I'm hoping that my physical body is better. I'm hoping that my job is better. I'm hoping, but I'm not hoping for random, ambiguous things. I'm hoping for something that is focused, because if you don't focus hope, then how do you know when hope is fulfilled? And so how do we understand what we're hoping for specifically? Well, we continue the sentence, because blank can make it happen. Here we go. I am eagerly looking forward to blank. What are you eagerly looking forward to in your life? What are you hoping for? What specific thing? Are you hoping to overcome something in your life? Are you hoping to improve your marriage, improve the life of your kids, improving your position at work, being more impactful for Jesus somehow, being impactful on that team? How are you looking to your future with hope? What are you eagerly looking forward to? And by answering that blank, or filling in that blank, it gives focus to our hope. And the next week, we're going to talk about how hope also needs to be fueled by someone. That someone has to push hope along. And we're going to see next week that we have a part to play in not only having hope, but in moving hope forward. So next week, we're going to talk about the idea of how you and I are going to do something today to help move hope forward. What's my part in hope? But today, let's step back and let's go to point number two. Hope must have a specific focus. And in your Bibles, let's go toward the end of your Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. We know that John wrote five books in your Bible. The first one is named John. The second one is named John. The third one is named John. The fourth one is named John. And the fifth one is named Revelation. So we're going to go to 1 John, which is actually the second book in your Bible from John. But it's kind of confusing. 1 John chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Hope must have a specific focus. Let's talk about hope just for a minute in the broad sense of life. Before we get into the specific hopes that we have, let's step back and let's just look at how hope works in life overall, okay? Let's take a minute to do that. Three simple ideas. Number one, God is ahead of us in time, working to make things better. Hope, remember, is the eager anticipation of something better. And one of the things we've got to understand is here I am in this point in history and time, but God is already ahead of us in time. God is already in 2018. And he is working to make things better so that when I arrive in 2018, my hope is fulfilled. Does that make sense? That we have such a great God, he's not limited by time, but he's already in 2018. He's already in 2019. And what he's doing is he's working ahead of us in time to make things better. Jesus said this in John 14. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many what? Dwelling places, mansions, the word is apartments. We all have an apartment in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. What is Jesus doing right now in heaven in the future time that we're going to someday get to? He's preparing something ahead for us. Last year, if God did something in your life that fulfilled a hope for you, do you think he just did it in the immediate time in which you experienced it? Probably not. You were way back here hoping for that. You were in 2014, 2015, hoping for something. God was already in 2017, and he was working. So by the time you arrived into this year, wow, God fulfilled a hope. I was out in the hallway just after last service, and a dear old woman came up to me and said, you know, I've been praying for 12 years that my daughter would call me. And my granddaughter would call me, praying, hoping. And she said, 2 days ago, my daughter called me. Why? Because God was at work, and she was standing back here in 2005, 2006, but God was already in 2017, working, 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 boom, relationship restored. God is working in your future to make things better for you. You haven't experienced it yet because you're not in the future. God is in the future. The second point in the broad stroke of things is God is present today. Even though he's working in the future, he's also present with me today through his presence, through his promises, and through his principles. And what I mean by that is that God isn't just going to let me wander through today and struggle until I get into a sweet time of hope fulfilled and then go back into a time of struggle and where he leaves me. No, he's going to help me both in the time fulfilled seasons and in the seasons where hope isn't fulfilled. God's with us all the time. And so he's with you today. If you're walking through a situation where you are hoping for something, but it hasn't been realized yet, just know that God is not only working in your future, but he's with you today. And he's giving you his presence and his power, and he's giving you his promises and his principles. And the conclusion of these two truths is that when we hope in these two truths, that God is ahead in my future and God is with me today, it gives us meaningful existence until the better arrives. I don't have to live a meaningless existence just because my hopes aren't being fulfilled yet. I can still have meaningful existence today. Romans 15:13 says, I can have peace today. I can have joy today. I can be free from fear. I can have contentment today, even though my hopes have not been realized yet. Why? Because God is the God who's here today, and simultaneously he's working in your future. God has some stuff ahead for you that is unbelievable, that it's great to hope for, and he's already ahead of you in time, working those things out so that when you arrive in that season of history, your hopes will be all fulfilled. But at the same time, he's with you today, helping you, giving you Romans 15:13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace so that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. I can still have peace and hope and joy today, even though I'm looking forward to hope fulfilled in the future. That's the great thing about God. That's the broad sense. Now, as I studied hope in the New Testament, specifically the second part of your Bible, I started listening to the writers of the New Testament, and what did they hope for? And what did they tell their readers to hope for? And then I started to see, well, there's kind of categories. And I kind of have six categories about how you and I can hope for things legitimately for the future. I want to share those six categories with you. But before we get into those six categories, the principle that I want to focus on today is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says that we need to align our hopes with God's hopes for us. If I want to have my hopes fulfilled, get this, I have to align my hopes with God's hopes for me. If he's the foundation of my hope, then he needs to be the focus of my hope by means that when I am hoping for something in the future, I want to be in alignment with what God hopes for me in the future. Does that make sense? I could create a Christmas list for God. Oh, God, I hope for this, and God, I hope for that. You know, God, I hope for things to be newer and nicer. God, I hope for things to be bigger and better. God, I hope, you know, like for years, God, just give me that Hummer. I loved Hummers when they were around. You know, we stop at the stop sign. Oh, babe, look at that one. Woo, that's a nice Hummer going by. And so, God, we could make a list of Christmas wishes, but those aren't hopes. Those are Christmas wishes. What I want to do to experience hope biblically is I want to make sure that my hopes are aligned with God's hopes for me. Does that make sense? And here we are, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence, wow, notice that word, confidence, which we have before God. In other words, if I could stand before God, I can be super confident about what I'm about to say to him. I can stand there with my shoulders back. I can stand there and say, God, with all confidence, I'm going to say something to you. And this is what it is. That if we ask anything according to his what? He what? He hears us. So I have this confidence. God, I believe that this is your will. So I'm going to boldly ask for it for my life. That's how we distinguish between just asking God for the Christmas list of self-serving things versus, God, here's what I'm hoping for in the future, and I know that what I'm asking for is also what you want for my life, so man, I am confident to ask for that. So as I begin to write down things that I'm asking God for and placing my hope in for the future, because remember, hope is the eager expectation, the eager anticipation of something better. And hope is part of the top three attributes that God gives to us. So God wants us to hope. God wants us to eagerly anticipate something better in our life. But he doesn't mean give him a Christmas list. He means discover what he wants for your life and get on board and hope in those things. So if we were able to scour the New Testament and kind of put things in categories, what kind of specific expectations could we have when we talk with God? What things can I put on my hope list that I can say, yep, that's also God's hope for me? But that's God's hope for me. There's six of them. We'll go through them quickly. Number one, future plans for life. God wants you to hope in the future plans of your life. There are things that you're hoping for in the next decade or two decades, or things that you're hoping for in the next year that God says, bingo, hope for that. God says it's okay to hope in your future plans. You're like, God, my kid is like six, and in 2 years I want to move out. You know, that's my hope. That is my plan. Okay? Let's look and see what Paul writes. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, I do not wish to see you just in passing, but I hope to remain with you for some time. Paul says, you know what my future plans are? When I come through your region, Corinthians, I want to stay for months. That's my future plans. I hope to stay with you for months. And then you notice how he finishes the sentence, if what? If the Lord permits. So God, I'm hoping for this. And if, as long as it aligns with your will for me, I'm all in. But there's nothing wrong, ladies and gentlemen, with saying, you know what? I kind of want to plan out the next part of my life, and I want it to align with God's plans, but I really want to hope in some great things for my future. I really want to hope for some great things. And I think it's good to hope in your future. Placing your eager expectations and anticipations on things that might be coming down the pike for your life that you can't yet see, and you're not sure how God's going to do it, but you're going to hope in it. And I want to tell you, it's perfectly legitimate to hope for future things in your life. Not Christmas card things or Christmas list things, but real things. Paul says, I want to spend not just a day or two with you. I'm hoping to spend months with you. If the Lord permits. Future plans. Second of all, for life to become better. Now, I know we're getting close to this line here where we have a cautionary note about we don't demand things from God. And God isn't here to fulfill my Christmas card list. But does God want your life to be spiraling upward in quality? And the answer is yes. Yes. The reason Jesus left the Holy Spirit in our hearts is to help us have better relationships, have better character, have better ethics. And when we have better relationships and better character and better ethics, our life gets what? Better. Better. This is such an interesting verse. Again, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says this, yes, for our sake it was written, watch this, because the plowman ought to plow in what? Hope. And the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. Here's the principle. If you are working hard at something in your life, it's perfectly legitimate that it's going to improve your life. When the plowman is going across the field, digging the furrows in the ground, and he knows that he's got to plant the seeds, and he's got to fertilize, and he needs God to bring the rains, and he needs to keep the pests away, and God raises up a harvest, and he's going to someday, in a couple of months, get to share in the profits of that harvest, that is a legitimate hope. That because of my work today, my life's going to be better tomorrow. That's a biblical hope. Again, it's not a strange demand of God. It's a biblical hope. When the thresher is the guy, when things are harvested and they're laying on the threshing floor, the wheat is, the thresher gets a pitchfork and throws it into the air, and all the chaff gets blown away, the bad part of the wheat, and the kernels come to the ground. He scoops up the kernels, puts them in a bag, takes them to market. When he's doing that hot, sweaty, dirty work, he's hoping that there's going to be a great profit from the kernels, and he's going to share in the crops. The principle is this. You're working hard at something, and it's perfectly legitimate to say, God, I'm working hard. Please allow it to make my life better. Better. I mean, you're working hard raising those kids. You're working hard at that marriage. You're working hard at that school. You're working hard at that job. You're working hard to overcome. You're working hard to improve. You're working hard to get your finances under control. You can hope legitimately that things are going to get better because that is God's hope for you. Does God want my marriage to be better? Absolutely. Does God want my parenting to be better? Does God want my relationship to be better? Does God want my finances to be better? Yes. He's not talking about being rich and famous. He's talking about having a life that continually improves. It's perfectly legitimate to hope in your future that it will be better than your today. Because why? Because God, I'm working hard. And this is your will for my marriage. This is your will for my family. This is your will for my workplace. my friendships. I'm going to work hard at those things, and I'm going to hope that they get better. That they get better. I was talking to somebody else in the courtyard after the first service, and they had a family issue that was divided for years. And just recently, God brought the whole family back together again. Restoring. God is in the business of restoring. If you need restoration, hope in that. If you need improvement, if you need success to get to the next level, if you need favor, if you need blessing, hope in a better future. Again, let's not cross the line into my Christmas list thinking I can demand God for a Hummer. Okay? But things can be better. Paul says the plowman should plow in hope. The thresher should thresh in hope. You're working hard to be all that God wants you to be, and you can hope that it's going to get better in your life, that it's going to improve your life. The third thing, the third category, is future impact and boldness. I don't know about you, but I want to have an impact. I want to be able to have an impact for Jesus in the lives of other people and have an impact in a significant way. I hope that as you look towards your future, all of your hopes aren't just hopes that improve your life, but some of your hopes is that you can improve the lives of other people. That God wants us to hope in things that relate to me, but God also wants me to hope in things that improve the lives of others through me. So as you write out, I'm eagerly anticipating blank. Make sure you include in there a hope about how you're improving the lives of other people, how you're making an impact. Because one of the things that God desires for us is that we are influencers. Paul says it this way. This is so interesting. Again, to the Corinthians, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest to God, and we are also made manifest also in your conscience. Paul says, you know what? I'm saying some tough stuff to you, Corinthians. I'm really trying to make an impact in your lives, and it's not been easy. So I know that if I don't say these things or if I don't help you, I have to answer to the Lord. So I'm going to do some things in your life. But I'm hoping that the result is that God would see that my conscience is clear, that I'm not doing this for self-gain. I'm not doing this to be self-serving. I'm really doing this to help you. And I hope all the way down in your consciences, you can be impacted by my ministry. Paul says, I want to make an impact on your life in a meaningful way. And sometimes it takes boldness to do that. So one of the things that we can hope for is, Lord, I want to be used by you to make meaningful impact in the lives of others. I was listening to a great podcast recently, and it was talking about asking the question whether we believe we are usable by God. If I were to ask you the question, is your life really usable for God? How you answer that question goes a long way into whether you are usable for God. Because if you don't believe that you are a usable vessel for God, then you're going to arrange your life to be unusable. Does that make sense? But if you really believe, you know what, God, I may not have much to offer. I'm just this little human being, but I want to be usable, and I believe that you can use me, then all of a sudden you're going to arrange your life for God to use you. And so I want to encourage you, when you have hopes for the future, make sure you include the usability of your life to impact other people, because you are a great vessel for God. If you hope for that, God, get this, God is working in your future. And one of the things he's working on is your impact to others. And if you are hoping in that, he's going to set up scenarios that when you walk into them, you are going to be a usable vessel for him, and you're going to make a difference in people's lives. Maybe by how you serve them, or how you speak to them, or however God wants to use you, you are a usable vessel if you hope to be usable. When you would fill out that statement, because blank can make it happen, I am eagerly looking forward to blank. Would you write in there something about God using you? Because that is something that's according to his will. So if I ask him for that, he hears me because he wants to use you. And it may be just in your family. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be something bigger, but pray that God would use you. It's legitimate to hope for God to use you. Number four, future promises of God's fulfilled. God has some great promises for your future, right? Great promises. Look at this verse in 1 Peter. Now, Peter's had a tough life. You know, we often raise Peter up as a great hero of the faith, and he is. And he's the guy that, you know, caught a bunch of fish in the middle of the night. He's the guy that denied Jesus. He had a hard life. In fact, at the end of his life, he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus. So he asked, if you're going to crucify me as a way of martyrdom, can you please crucify me upside down? Because I don't want to even be crucified like Jesus. So they crucified him upside down. But before he died, this is what he wrote. Watch this. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope what? Wow, that sounds pretty complete, doesn't it? Don't just kind of hope. Fix your hope completely on, here it is, the what? The grace to be brought to who? You. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is some grace. That word grace means God's favor. There's going to come a day when all the promises that God makes to his people are going to come into action. And there's going to come a day when you are going to completely receive everything God has for you. Wow, won't that be a great day? Are you hoping for that day? Is that on your list? Because it says here to fix your hope completely on that event. Wow, you know, what's going to happen? What's this grace thing he talks about? Three things. Number one, you're going to be receiving a new body. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need that today. Wow, that's really good for you right there. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he comes, you're going to get a new body. You're going to have a new mind, new emotions. It's going to be the pure you. Can you imagine every thought you have is a pure thought? You can't even have a bad thought if you wanted to. Every attitude is a pure attitude. Every emotion, every decision, everything in your body works completely to its fullest. That's the grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, you're getting a new place. We're going to get out of this place. And Jesus is going to set up his perfect kingdom of peace here on earth. And we're going to be part of 1,000 years of perfect peace. And then we're going to have eternity in heaven with perfect peace. You're going to be a perfect person and you're going to be in a perfect place. And you're going to have a perfect relationship with God. That's the grace that's coming to you when Jesus shows up. Peter says, you know what? I've had a hard life. On this planet, things have not been going well. So I fix my hope completely on that day when I get a new person, when I become a new person, when I get a new place, when I get a new position with Jesus. Because some of the stuff that we struggle with is not going to end until that day. And we have to have our hope fixed on that. Do we think about that day much? Do we think, wow, I really can't wait to not struggle with this. I really can't wait to not think like this. I really can't wait to get over this addiction. I really can't wait to get over this habit. I really can't wait until all my relationships are awesome. I really can't wait till my right knee doesn't stop hurting, doesn't hurt anymore. I really can't wait to be with Jesus face to face. I really can't wait to be in a world where there's no pain and suffering and tears and terrorists. That day's coming. So let's hope in it. Let's hope in it. Two more and we're done. Number five, spiritual growth and perseverance. You know, before Jesus, there was a truth in the Old Testament that the writers of the Old Testament got hints of, but they couldn't figure it out. There was a truth that you see throughout the pages of the Old Testament that give reference to something, but the writers couldn't figure out what it was. And so they said, man, there's something coming in the future, and it's incredible, but God is keeping it a mystery right now, and it's not going to be revealed till later. And the Old Testament writers, kind of like being in the bathroom after a shower when the mirror is all fogged up, they couldn't see what this new way of truth was. But after Jesus, the mirror was wiped clean and the truth was revealed, that this new incredible thing happened. And Paul tells us about it in Colossians when he says, God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that people outside of God's family don't experience this, which is Christ what? In you. Do you realize before Jesus, this never happened? God was never in people. And when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, from that moment forward, Christ isn't going to be in people because we're going to be with him. So we're in this crazy period of history from Acts chapter 2 until the end of the book of Revelation where God is actually in us. What an advantage we have. Wow. I want to grow spiritually. I want to persevere. I want to hope that I can become more like Jesus. That hope is a legitimate hope because it aligns itself with God's hope for us, because God hopes it for us so strongly, he put his Holy Spirit in us. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things that God has put in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to grow spiritually. Man, do you want to not go to that website anymore? Do you want to not be that kind of person anymore? Do you want to overcome those things? You have the ability to overcome them. That's God's hope for you, and it's a legitimate hope for you to have for yourself. And then finally, I saw this pattern, a future resurrection and kingdom, that one day, as Titus says, we're looking to for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's going to come a day when God is going to bring us to glory and we're going to be part of his kingdom, not the kingdom of this earth. And it's a true, legitimate choice to hope for these things. God, I'm hoping for something better in life. I'm hoping for a better place. I'm hoping to be a better person. So when we talk about hope, it has to be founded on the person of God, because only God can do all these things we talked about this morning, but it has to be focused. So when I ask myself the question, what is it that I am eagerly looking forward to? Do I have specific things in mind? And my encouragement to you this week is to get alone for a few minutes, maybe grab a cup of coffee, grab a pad of paper and a pencil, and just say, God, here's what I'm eagerly looking forward to. And just begin to list your hopes. And then ask the question, do these hopes align themselves with God's hopes for me? These aren't just Christmas gift hopes. These are the hopes of Scripture. And then pray that God would bring them about. And remember that God is in your future. He's already at work. So that when you arrive at that season of time, your hope will be fulfilled. At the same time, God is walking with you today, that you will know His presence and His power and His promises until you get to that season of hope fulfilled. Let's not just make hope something that's random. Let's not just make hope something that's arbitrary or general. When I look at hope in the New Testament, the writers tell us to make hope have a focus. So what is it that you want to hope for in your life? You want that better family? You want that better position? You want that better relationship? You want that better heart attitude? You want that victory in your life? When these things align themselves with what God wants for us, we are asking according to His will. And when we ask according to His will, He what? He hears us. He hears us. So let me encourage you, take some time and write down your hopes and your dreams and search the Scriptures to make sure that they align themselves with the hopes that God has for you. And then wait as God works in your future, bringing those hopes and dreams about. Let's stand together and pray. Thank you that you are a God of hope. And it is your desire to fill us with your hope so that we would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what I pray for us today, Lord. And I know that that is according to your will so that you hear this request. I pray, Lord, for each one here today and the desires and hopes and dreams we have for our futures. The future in our families, the future in our vocations, the future in our relationships, the future of our finances, the future of our personal mind, heart, and will. Lord, that you would give us hope. Help us to believe you when you tell us to hope. Help us to hope in being used by you. Thank you that you are the God of hope. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the Christmas season. Show us how to do this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end our service just a little bit differently. Don't leave yet. Don't sit down. As a staff, we just want to say Merry Christmas to you. And we want to say thank you and how much we love you. And we have a 30-second video to do that. So as you leave, hang on just a second. You don't have to sit down. Please watch the video and know that your staff loves and appreciates you.
In the midst of this Christmas season,
in the midst of this Christmas season,
we are reminded that the Lord wants us to value people more than possessions.
And to value our relationship with Jesus Christ most of all.
To value our relationship with Jesus most of all.
With that in mind, we wanted you to know just how much we love and appreciate you.
Just how much we love and appreciate you.
You are generous, loving, and kind.
Generous, loving, and kind.
You consistently find a way to love someone God loves.
You consistently find a way to love someone like God does, every day.
Every day.
It is our privilege to serve alongside of you and thank God for every remembrance of you.
And thank God for every remembrance of you.
We wish you and all your family a very Merry Christmas.